If you believe human wants and needs are infinite, said Andreessen, then there are infinite industries to be created, infinite businesses to be started, and infinite jobs to be done, and the only limiting factor is human imagination. The world is flattening and rising at the same time, and I think the evidence is overwhelmingly clear. If you look over the sweep of history, every time we had more trade, more communications, we had a big upswing in economic activity and standard of living. Look at what is happening already. As American companies send knowledge work to India, Indian companies are turning around and using their earnings and insights to start inventing new products that poorer Indians can use to lift themselves out of poverty into the middle class, where they will surely become consumers of American products. Raghuram Rajan, the director of research for the International Monetary Fund, sits on the board of a company that puts Indian students to work tutoring students in Singapore. The students, from the Indian Institute of Technology in Madras, go online to help students in Singapore from grades 6 to 12 on their math homework. They also help teachers in Singapore develop lesson plans and prepare PowerPoint presentations or other jazzy ways for them to teach math. The company, called HeyMath.com, is paid for by the schools in Singapore. Cambridge University in England is also part of this equation, providing the overall quality controls and certifying the lesson plans and teaching methods. Everyone wins, says Rajan. The company is run by two Indians who worked for Citibank and CSFB in London and came back to India to start this business. Cambridge University is making money from a company that has created a whole new niche. The Indian students are making pocket money, and the Singapore students are learning better. Meanwhile, the underlying software is probably being provided by Microsoft and the chips by Intel. And the enriched Indian students are probably buying cheap personal computers from Apple, Dell, or HP. But you can't really see any of this. The pie grew, but no one saw it, said Rajan. It is so easy to demonize free markets and the freedom to outsource and offshore because it is so much easier to see people being laid off than being hired. But occasionally, a newspaper tries to dig deep into the issue. My hometown paper, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, did just that. It looked at exactly how the Minnesota economy was being affected by the flattening of the world, actually daring to run an article on September 5, 2004, headlined, "Offshore Jobs Bring Gains at Home." The article, datelined Wuxi, China, began like this. Outside, the air is dank, dusty, and hot as tropical fever. Inside, in an environment that's dry, spotless, and cool, hundreds of former farm laborers covered head to toe in suits looking like something out of NASA are performing work for Bloomington-based Donaldson Company, Inc. In Donaldson's case, the company has twice as many workers in China, 2,500, as the 1,100 it has in Bloomington. The Chinese operation not only has allowed Donaldson to keep making a product it no longer could make at a profit in the United States, it also has helped boost the company's Minnesota employment, up by 400 people since 1990. Donaldson's highly paid engineers, chemists, and designers in Minnesota spend their days designing updated filters that the Chinese plant will make for use in computers, MP3 players, and digital video recorders. The falling disk drive prices made possible by Chinese production are feeding demand for the gadgets. If we didn't follow the trend, we'd be out of business, said David Tim, general manager of Donaldson's disk drive and microelectronics unit. In Minnesota, Global Insight estimates that 1,854 jobs were created as a result of foreign outsourcing in 2003. By 2008, the firm expects nearly 6,700 new jobs in Minnesota as a consequence of the trend. Economists often compare China's and India's entry into the global economy to the moment when the railroad lines crossing America finally connected New Mexico to California, with its much larger population. When the railroad comes to town, noted Vivek Paul, the YPRO president, The first thing you see is extra capacity, and all the people in New Mexico say those people, Californians, will wipe out all our factories along the line. That will happen in some areas, and some companies along the line will go out of business. But then capital will get reallocated. In the end, everyone along the line will benefit. Sure, there is fear, and that fear is good, because that stimulates a willingness to change and explore and find more things to do better. It happened when we connected New York, New Mexico, and California. It happened when we connected Western Europe, America, and Japan. And it will happen when we connect India and China with America, Europe, and Japan. The way to succeed is not by stopping the railroad line from connecting you, but by upgrading your skills and making the investment in those practices that will enable you and your society to claim your slice of the bigger but more complex pie.